The women's, they've been dealt a pretty savage blow on the weekend with their number one ruck option out for the season, having done a knee. There was some good and there was some bad news for so many of the women's teams as they went through their paces on the weekend. Sarah Black from AFL.com.au has been good enough to join us to just tick off a few for us. Sarah, good afternoon to you.
Hey, Andrew. How you going?
I'm good. How are you going? It was a big weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah,
they all?
Good, thank you.
They all had a chance to kind of, everyone's been, it's been a long pre-season and I guess they're all in the same boat that you never quite know, and there's still a lot of, you know, water to flow under the bridge and questions to be answered, but everybody just got a bit of a chance against a real-life opponent just to kind of size up where they're at on the weekend, and there's a whole lot of interesting stuff revealed from those practice games.
Yeah, there really is. There's a few teams that have done really well. Your Carlton was one of them. I think really 7 goals is a great effort from them after sort of a poor 2018. And GWS really, I think, showed a bit of a warning across the competition, absolutely demolishing the Lions.
11.975 they kicked it. This was one of the things that I was going to be really interested in having a look at across the board. And I know, you know, Steve Hocking in the AFL, you know, all the people who have been, you know, in, behind the scenes thinking about ways of tweaking the rules to open the game up a little bit, you know, in the women's game to try and encourage more scoring. There are a couple of things that happened on the weekend that certainly led that to be the case. I don't know how many games you saw, Sarah, but the one thing that I thought was a really interesting addition to the game was the boundary umpire coming in that 10 metres and throwing the ball closer to the corridor. So there's all that room in front of the stoppage as well as on the sides and at the back. And I reckon that's a really interesting innovation. I wonder how you saw that play out, and I wonder what the reaction from the clubs would have been in terms of just opening the field of play up.
Yeah, it was one that I was really keen to see actually play out. When they introduced it, I thought that might be the case. I'd seen a few of the VFL trial matches with the men with Coburg, and that seemed to happen there where the boys were able to take advantage of that greater space. And it looks like the girls are going to do a similar thing. The thing that clubs, I reckon, are going to be a bit concerned about is when you've got a throw-in inside 50, yes, it brings it into the corridor, but that means if you can't take advantage of that, the ball is going to absolutely slingshot out of defence, out of your forward line, sorry, and right down the other end of the ground for an easy goal. And over-the-back goals is one of the main sources of scoring for the women's game. So I think teams will have to be really on with their defensive structures to sort of prevent that from happening.
I agree. And, you know, I know people say leave the game alone, and I'm not advocating for any change at AFL level, you know, at all. But I reckon the rules of the game and the lawmakers who, you know, are always looking for ways to improve footy, they'll watch this with a great deal of interest in the AFLW. And I wouldn't mind betting that this is one that they'll think about seriously going forward. You just look at the goal, the scoring that you mentioned, 7-4, 7-2, Geelong Carlton. North kicked 9-2 against Melbourne. They had 14 scoring shots. You mentioned the Giants, 11-9. They kicked against the Brisbane Lions, who are always strong. You never know quite how hard everybody's going. It was a bit lower scoring, the Western Bulldogs v Collingwood. But Adelaide, 9-4, 13 scoring shots. Fremantle had in their game as well. So the numbers would suggest a very small sample size, but the numbers would suggest that, you know, they are getting more looks and the ball certainly pinged up and down the ground quicker in the game that I saw on the weekend when Carlton took on Geelong. Sarah, that I would think, and I'll put to you this, that the performance of Geelong and North, they both, particularly North Melbourne, have recruited extremely aggressively, the two new teams in this year. The performance of both Geelong and North Melbourne would have been a huge boost to obviously everybody at their clubs, but everybody interested in the AFLW competition. Terrific first up efforts by them.
Yeah, most definitely, because there's always a concern about, especially with the new competition, you're sort of fast-tracking the talent pathways a bit, and whether expansion is going to sort of overstretch the talent pool there. But I think North, obviously they've drafted heavily from other clubs, so, you know, it is sort of, oh, will that weaken the other clubs as well, as a flow-on effect. But, yeah, they certainly hit the ground running. And the Cats have just been quietly building away, building the VFLW program really smartly. And there's something like 20 of their 30 squad members have played together before for Geelong at VFLW level. So they've done that very smartly, I think, and the girls obviously were able to take that step up from VFLW level to AFL pretty comfortably.
Yeah, they're a good club. They're just a good football club, Geelong. Like when they don't, when they do things, they do it properly. They don't do it in half measures. And they looked impressive, particularly Phoebe McWilliams in attack for the Cats. She was a real standout in that game.
Yeah, she'll be a real loss for the Giants, I think. The Giants have managed to pick up Christina Bernardi from the Pies, who probably slot into sort of Phoebe's position, not so much her role. But she'll be a real focal point for the Cats, which will be really good. Astra O'Connor was really strong too, so two of the veterans really standing up for the Cats, which will be important because they've got a lot of young elite talent, but very young 18-year-old, 19-year-olds. So you'll need those older girls to sort of steady the ship a little bit.
Talking to Sarah Black from AFL.com.au, it wasn't a weekend that went by without some pretty serious injury concerns. The Adelaide Crows have lost their number one ruckman for the season. Bring us up to date with her. And that fractured or broken leg from Brooke Lachlan, who was so exciting for the Western Bulldogs last year. Have you got any latest for us on her status?
Yeah, so just starting with Rhiannon Metcalf, the Adelaide ruck that you mentioned. She's been their first choice ruck for the past few years, playing up in Darwin, just one of those innocuous incidents, as the club puts it. They're just so unfortunate. Went down and she was tackling an opponent, and unfortunately she's out for the year. Another blow for the Crows is that Jasmine Hewitt, who's her second ruck, hurt her ankle in some way or form. It's not broken. They've cleared that. But there is some sort of ligament damage there. So Jess Foley, who's a recruit, former basketballer, former Opal, believe it or not, she's going to have to take the number one mantle, I think, in just a second year of footy. And they're going to have to, I don't know where they're going to pull their ruck support from, but it might be a few defenders come rucks for the Crows, which is a real shame for them. And moving on to Brooke Lachlan, she's got a fractured leg, the fibula bone, which is a better situation than a tibia, so sort of less waist-bearing there. It's a real shame for Brooke. She's one of the fittest in the team. Obviously, that 7-goal haul last year against Carlton really put her name on the map. The good news about Brooke is that the club has not yet officially said that she's out for the season, which suggests that it may be a bit of a minor fracture. So that's, there's still a bit of hope there that she's so fit that maybe if it's a minor fracture, she may be able to get back for the latter end of the season. But fingers crossed there.
It's a big price to pay. Such a short season that injuries that might otherwise, not necessarily be as catastrophic in, say, something like the VFLW season become that in the AFLW season, don't they? Because it's such a compressed season that, the other thing that compounds that is you just don't want to force you're getting back a bit early. You don't want to force the rehab, and yet the impatience that these girls have got to play and their want and willingness to kind of show what they've got at this level is absolutely obvious. And it's when you get to see them up close and you get to know them, it's a real shame when, early in the season or through the pre-season they cop these injuries.
Yeah, and soft tissues injuries especially, you don't want to be rushing them because, if you re-injure, then you really are done for the season. We saw Katie Brennan last year sort of really push herself to get back from that ankle injury. And if you remember back in round 7, that final match where she did end up getting suspended, she looked really proppy. She had an ankle brace on, which you very rarely see in football, a brace. It's more of a netball thing. But it just shows how eager these girls are to play in such the small window that they have available for them.
How's she going?
She's flying, Katie Brennan. She's had a full ankle reco, so spent the entire year out, didn't play any footy at all during the VFLW season, but she led the way, was named best on for the Dogs up in Ballarat, so that's great to see.
It is. There's a couple of others who are coming back from long-termers, and a couple actually ran around on the weekend who are coming back from serious injuries. Bree Davey was one of those, and it was gladdening to the hearts of a lot of Carlton supporters to see what she was able to produce. They've got one more weekend, Sarah. It's hard to believe. One more weekend of preparation and then another week of training before it all kicks off. It's just around the corner, and around the footy clubs I can report, the excitement is incredibly palpable, and we can't wait for it to kick off. It's going to be a busy year for you. Thanks for joining us, and hopefully we'll touch base with you on the from time to time in the lead up to it all as more news comes to hand. Appreciate you joining us today.
Thanks, Ben. No worries. Thanks for having me.